It's all in.
We have to stop Ronan.
How?
I have a plan.
You've got a plan?
Yes.
First of all, you're copying me from when I said I had a plan.
No, I'm not. People say that all the time. It's not that unique of a thing to say.
Secondly, I don't even believe you have a plan.
I have part of a plan.
What percentage of a plan do you have?
You don't get to ask questions after the nonsense you pulled on Nowhere.
I just saved Quill.
We've already established that you destroying the ship that I'm on is not saving me.
When did we establish?
Like 3 seconds ago!
No, I wasn't listening. I was thinking of something else.
Oh.
She's right. You don't get an opinion. What percentage?
I don't know. 12%.
12%?
That's a fake laugh.
It's real!
Totally fake.
That is the most real, authentic, hysterical laugh of my entire life, because that is not a plan.
It's barely a concept.
You're taking their side?
I am Groot.
So what? It's better than 11%. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Thank you, Groot. Thank you. See? Groot's the only one of you who has a clue.
Welcome to the Quest Bowl.
Spoiler bonus episode time. We're talking about some Guardians of the Galaxy, the GOGT. Hashtag GOGT. Hashtag Guardians of the Galaxy. Hashtag
GOGT.
G-O-G-T.
Guardians of Galaxy, the.
GOGT. Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
GOGT.
Damn it.
Guardians of Galaxy, the.
How do I stop this and re-record? I don't
Gocked.
Know. I have no idea how to do this. My tomfoolery is out there for the world to hear.
Isn't that gogged?
Damn it. Guardians of Galaxy, the. Came out this weekend. Record numbers opening weekend.
$94 million, bro. It's huge.
God damn! This is episode 82 to hear us talk about those numbers and what they mean, and we parse it out and shit like that. But now we're talking about the actual movie itself, the details of the movie, the deets. Let's get into it. Because Drew, I got a problem with this movie.
Okay.
I got a problem.
What's the problem?
Touched on it in episodes 82, but now I can really get into the problem I got,
mm-hmm.
which is the fact that this movie has no story.
Blue monster talks to purple monster, purple gem, planet may be destroyed. They gotta save.
Yeah.
Galaxy.
It's like, what's that all about? What is that? What is that? Is that a movie? That's not a movie. I mean, it's a movie, but it's not a movie. Movie starts with... Let's start at the beginning.
Cancer mom.
Movie starts with cancer mom. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. That's exactly where I want to start. Cancer mom.
She obviously has cancer because she had sex with an alien. Because
she had sex... Well, that comes later, I guess. Oh, I didn't even put those two together.
No, No, because she talks about it in there. Because she says, you know, your father's coming for you. And she says he was made out of pure light. He's an your father. He was an angel made of pure light. That's what she said.
I thought that was a metaphor.
No. She was being literal.
She was being literal.
I'm almost positive she was being literal.
She's like Drax. Mm-hmm. She was being literal.
Yeah.
But we didn't... Okay.
Yeah.
So she was being literal, so she fucked an alien.
Yep.
And we got Peter Quill.
Yes.
And then she's like, take my hand! And he won't do it.
Nope, because he's afraid.
And she dies.
Yep.
Okay. He runs outside.
Yep.
Spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
In his face. Boom.
Yep.
Very funny shot, actually.
Yes.
When he's like, he looks up, oh, a giant spaceship, and it's like looking down.
Uh-huh.
Takes him. Smash cut.
20 years later.
Which is now 2014. He's in the far reaches of outer space.
Yes.
And then the story kicks in with him. He's an older man who happens to look like Chris Pratt
mm-hmm.
from Parks and Rec.
Yep.
And he's on some alien planet where he's like doing...
Dancing.
He's dancing.
He's dancing his 70s pop.
He's doing a Raiders of the Lost Ark style recovery of an ancient artifact, right?
But there are no traps.
No, there are. But it's just that you just like all these goblins and creatures
over
the water.
Things.
The tiny little rat things, but he just kicks them.
Yep.
He jumps over the water. It's like he's totally cool. With, I mean, they're kind of making fun of the fact that he's in this very dangerous situation, which should be full of traps and shit. But instead, he's just listening to music and having a good old time.
I got it.
And then he gets to the orb, and it's in this little cage thing. He has his little device. He pulls it out, and it sucks it out of the cage.
Yep.
And then the orb is in his hands. It's the easiest fucking thing in the world for him to show up and get this orb. Meanwhile, the orb has this energy in it that is just the most destructive thing in the goddamn universe.
But he doesn't know it at the time.
He doesn't know it at the time. apparently something that's supposed to be so dangerous and so that should be well guarded, and was well guarded in some sort of tomb, apparently really wasn't, because he just literally strolled up to it and took it. Yep. I'm just saying, for an item that the whole movie is based on, uh-huh, and which is supposedly so world-changing, it should have been a lot harder for someone to obtain than him just putting on headphones and kicking a couple things out of his way and then just taking it.
I think it's more of one of those, it's like the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, where yes, it's so powerful, no, it's maybe not so well guarded, but it's because it's been quote-unquote lost by time.
Yeah, but even then in Raiders
Nobody knows that it's there!
But even then in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones didn't find it until over halfway through the movie, and it took him some sleuthing. People were digging all over the desert for it. The Nazis were digging for it.
But the Guardians wouldn't get together if he...
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sure. The purple thing, the orb, the purple thing, it's just the MacGuffin. A MacGuffin is a term coined by Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
And the MacGuffin is something in the movie that drives the plot.
Yes.
And the character Peter Quill even says, so this thing has a very Maltese Falcon Ark of the Covenant vibe,
yes,
to it.
Which
Which is very silly for a movie character to say. Uh-huh. I'm just saying. It's very winking at the camera. But it is what it is, because like in the Maltese Falcon, everyone, that's a movie about a bunch of characters trying to find this item. But that movie is about the style of the movie and Humphrey Bogart being Sam Spade and all this stuff. Ark of the Covenant is the power struggle. It's about Indiana Jones being a rapscallion, but trying to, you know, still do right by the world to keep the Ark of the Covenant out of Nazi hands. So that's what this orb is. It's just the MacGuffin. But it drives the whole story. There's nothing...
Well, the entire movie was just, for all intents and purposes, that piece.
Yes. It's all centered around this thing that came out of nowhere. It just exists.
They're showing this crystal and Thanos, and that's the entire reason for this movie.
It's the entire reason. 2 minutes worth of movie is the entire reason for the movie even existing, so it can set up further Avengers films.
Further spoiler alert.
Spoiler! This whole thing is full of spoilers. The whole movie is spoilers.
Drew called it in the past and will continue to call it in the future. All this nonsense is just revolving around the Infinity Gauntlet. All these silly Marvel movies are going to have... So we've had the red crystal.
Mm-hmm. And the blue crystal.
Mm-hmm. Now we got the green one.
The purple one.
Yeah, the purple one. Now we need the green one and the yellow one and the orange one.
This is the first of the Marvel movies to actually call them Infinity Stones.
Yes.
It's the first time that phrase has come up.
Well, then it's because they need to say it.
Well, that's where they're going.
They're building up to the Infinity Gauntlet.
To the Infinity Gauntlet, where Thanos just snaps his fingers and half the universe dies.
Pretty much.
So that's where we're going. So that's the thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. While it's a cool sci-fi space opera movie, it all just exists to introduce the purple stuff.
Yes.
And Thanos, and the purple Thanos guy.
Yeah.
For the other movies.
Yes.
So as a standalone movie, it's really not doing anything. If you just watch Guardians of the Galaxy by itself, you're referencing the main villain, Thanos, you're referencing him, but you never really see him do anything. He has one scene.
Yep.
And the real villain of the movie is this dude, Ronan.
Yes.
Who, again, now we're back to your very basic, here's a bad guy who wants to destroy a world. You know, mm-hmm. That's all these guys, all these bad guys want to do.
Well, they had
Loki, Ronan.
Once again, we're in Marvel, we're in space, so they had to introduce the Kree Empire. And eventually, I'm sure in another one, I mean, you kind of saw it with Thanos, but they will introduce the Skrull Empire.
Right.
And they will bring to light that there is this giant intergalactic war that's been going on for eons between the Krees and the Skrulls.
See, so what? That's going to be coming down in future movies? Well, why can't I get that in this movie? Well, that sounds like it's about something.
Why? Because, they're testing the waters, bringing Marvel into space. Because now that Marvel is in space, mm-hmm, and it had the people are like, cool, Marvel in space.
People are cool with it.
Now they can do all these things. They can do the Krees and the Skrulls. They can do...
They can explore their sci-fi.
Exactly. They can bring the X-Men in with the Shi'ar Empire and bring X-Men into space. And, you know, you can bring in the Brood. And, oh, that's going to be... Whoo, that's a creepy X-Men storyline, I tell you what.
Could they ever get... They would have to get the X-Men back from Fox?
Yeah, if they ever wanted to do that.
That's a tough one. They do have... they got Silver Surfer back.
Yeah. Well, they're going to need Silver Surfer back for the Infinity Gauntlet.
That's right.
He's a huge part of it. And they're also going to have... Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're... Oh, man, it's going to be so weird. They're going to... I mean, I guess they're testing the waters with Doctor Strange.
Well, the Doctor Strange movie is happening.
Well, if they want to do the Infinity Gauntlet right, they're going to have to introduce Adam Warlock. And that is... That's Doctor Strange on steroids, bro. You think Doctor Strange is weird. Adam Warlock is so... That is more of, like, the meta Marvel Universe.
Okay.
When you start getting into these quote-unquote universal beings named Eternity and
yeah,
Death
right,
and Hope. And there's
while Thanos is trying to court Death.
Well, technically, exactly, because Thanos is...
He's in love with Death.
I mean, if you want to...
Death as a woman.
If you want to bring in, you know, some ancient Greek mythology here,
I do.
Too, technically Thanos is what's called a Titan.
One of the Titans, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's one of the Titans.
Wrath of the Titans.
Exactly.
Clash of the Titans.
That giant head that you saw floating through? Yeah, yeah.
That was a god.
That was Thanos' dad. Hey, guess what? Thanos fucking killed him.
Okay, now, back to Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, there's no story. There's no actual story. The whole screenplay is nothing but scenes of people trying to get the purple stuff. It's
yes,
all revolved around
the purple stuff. The purple gem.
That being said, I still like the fucking movie.
Well, I mean, it had gags for you. There was a talking there was a foul-mouthed raccoon with a gun.
That was pretty badass.
There was a big dumb tree thing.
Groot.
All he said was, "I am Groot."
Groot is
fun.
And
did some silly, stupid things.
Because he usually has a very... He's usually smiling.
Yeah.
He usually has a very simple, smiling face to him. So you can only like this big, dumb idiot.
Exactly.
Chris Pratt's good.
Yep.
Zoe Saldana's good.
Yep.
All the actors are good.
Dave Bautista is literal.
Dave Bautista is very literal. He's fun as Drax. Drax is a fun character. Yeah. The whole, we have to go inside that, the floating, severed head of a space god.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That they do that in the movie. That yeah, that's part of a movie.
And they just kind of throw it on the side too. Like, oh, by the way, giant space god.
By the way, a chunk of this movie is happening inside the head of a giant space god.
We're mining its corpse.
We're mining its brain fluids and stuff. And Oh, Drew. Here we go. You can't get away from it, Drew. Well, that kind of almost worked out there.
Almost.
We lost the Drusus Cockburn sparring round for episode 82.
More on that in episode 82.
If you listen to episode 82 first, you know what we're talking about. If you haven't listened to it yet, spoiler alert, it's not there. Fortunately, I do have a second game. I have a game for this episode in particular. We were talking about how in Guardians of the Galaxy opened at $94 million.
Yes.
Marvel claims $94 million even.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, what bullshit. So 92, 93. I mean, it killed. It killed the Bourne Ultimatum at $69 million. So I came up with a quick, which made more, the August opening weekend audition. I gave
all
you
right,
two movies. All these movies came out in the month of August. You tell me which one had a bigger opening weekend. Okay?
Uh-huh.
This will be fun. Number one, for example, which made more opening weekend? Superbad or The Expendables?
The Expendables.
Superbad made $33 million opening weekend. Big opening weekend. Expendables, $34 million. Good job. Number two, which made more? American Pie 2 or Triple X?
American Pie 2?
American Pie 2 made $45 million. Triple X, $44 million. Here we go. Number three, which made more? Elysium or Word the Millers?
Unfortunately, I'm going to say We're the Millers.
Elysium, $29 million opening weekend. We're the Millers, $26 million.
Just barely wrong.
But I will say I'm pretty sure We're the Millers made more in the long run. But it had a smaller opening weekend. Here we go. Number four, which made more? From the director of Get On Up, The Help, or The Dukes of Hazzard?
Dukes of Hazzard.
The Help, $26 million. Dukes of Hazzard, $30 million. Nice work. Number five, which made more opening weekend? Pineapple Express. Or the 40-year-old virgin.
40-year-old virgin.
Pineapple Express, $23 million opening weekend. 40-year-old virgin, $21 million. So that was a close one. Number six, which made more? Space Cowboys or District 9?
District 9.
Space Cowboys, $18 million opening weekend. District 9, $37 million. Not even close. Good job on that one. Number 7, which made more? Balls of Fury or Anacondas, The Hunt for the Blood Orchid?
Balls of Fury.
Balls of Fury made $11 million. Anaconda's $12 million.
Both awful movies.
Both pretty awful. Number 8, which made more in opening weekend, Spot Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Or The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
The Mummy.
Scott Pilgrim made $10 million opening weekend. Damn shame. The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, $40 million. Damn you, America. Damn you. Number 9, which made more opening weekend? Two Guns or Tropic Thunder?
Tropic Thunder.
Two Guns, $27 million. Tropic Thunder, 25.8. Ooh, I'm sorry. And finally, number 10, which made more? Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat. Or Spawn.
Oh, God. Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat, $23 million opening weekend. Spawn, $19 million. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 10.
I split the difference, not bad.
I'll take it. Guardians of the Galaxy. Remember that part where they were all like, these are the Guardians of the Galaxy? Almost got one left right there.
It was at the very end.
I was like, the guy said it.
And then he said it again.
We can get out of here. And then they did say it again. Yeah. So, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a fun movie. They do the cool things, like with a floating space head. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That was really cool. It had some crazy ideas. But it's like, at the end of the day, I don't know, it still feels like it could have been more. There could have been more movie there. Like I feel like the sequel, the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 that we're going to get in 2017 or whatever, like that movie is going to be really kick-ass. Because now that we have all these characters established, we can actually put them on an actual story where things that happen in the movie matter. Because here's the thing. Peter Quill, a.k.a. Star-Lord.
Yes.
Movie starts with him. He's an Indiana Jones type, where he's going around. He's an Indiana Jones / Han Solo. He's going around.
So he's Harrison Ford.
He's Harrison Ford, where he's a bounty hunter of sorts, but of artifacts. He's a scavenger. He's for a hire. He's doing the shit, right? He's constantly getting into it with authority, stuff like that. Okay. And then by the end of the movie, he's a hero.
Yes.
He's like, we got to do this to save the galaxy. Yes. He even says himself at one point, I'm one of the stupid people living in this galaxy. So that's why he wants to save it.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily out of a sense of greater good.
Self-preservation.
He lives in this galaxy. He wants to save it. So the movie's about him going from being a scavenger to a hero. The thing is, at the beginning of the movie, it never felt like he had to be the hero. Or he even necessarily wanted to be a hero. So when the supposed change happens by the end, it's not like it means anything.
No.
Think of Star Wars as our direct, you know, as our parallel for this movie. Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
Movie started with him. He wanted to join the Rebels, right? He wanted to join Starfleet, or he wanted to be a pilot. He wanted to do all these things, and he was being forced to stay on the farm to, you know, suppress who he could be. And then he got the chance to go out, learn the Force, and be the hero he always wanted to be, right? That was a palpable thing that he wanted. Star-Lord never actually wants these things.
Nope.
It just happens to him.
Uh-huh.
And then it was the whole thing with the dying mom in the beginning. So his mom dies. And holds out her hand.
Boo-hoo.
And she's like, right? It's just a boo-hoo moment. Hold my hand. He won't hold it. As soon as that happened, I knew that by the end of the movie, something would happen where you would have to hold someone's hand.
Yep.
You would have to reach out for it. And sure enough, it happens when he's holding the blue stone in his hand.
Purple.
The purple stone in his hand. And it's crushing him. It's killing him or whatever. And
Zoe Saldana
is like, hold my green hand.
Yep.
And he reaches out. And then it's this big moment where he pictures his dying mom. And he's in outer space. And he's like reaching out for her hand. And stuff. It's supposed to be a very emotional thing.
Not that emotional.
I'm thinking, what's the fucking point of this? There's no correlation between the dying mom and the moment that's happening there. There's no thematic correlation, no emotional correlation. So what? He's reaching out for a hand now, but what? That has nothing to do. It's just feels lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feels like they could have given another couple of passes and things could have tied together better. But it's not there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like why? Why am I supposed to be feeling any emotion here? Because I don't.
Because he's human, and he's the only human in the entire fucking movie. I mean, he's only half human.
And then even then, he's only half human, so fuck you, humans. Not even good enough to be in your own goddamn movie.
Yep.
Got John C. Reilly. But he was married to a pink woman.
Yep.
So, and they had a pink kid.
Yep.
I don't know about that interspecies marriage.
I mean, if it works, it works.
I guess, yeah, if the interconnecting parts work. Mm-hmm. You know, if they can smash their genitals together in a way that they never come apart, then I guess it works.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's what marriage is, yep. Right?
Smashing of genitals.
Smashing of genitals, never coming apart.
Yep.
Right?
Correct.
Because why else would you? They fit in so many other places.
Yeah, they do.
You found the perfect...
Apparently.
...hidey hole. Okay. So, I mean, I feel like it should have been better. It could have been better. It should have been better. The sequel will probably be better. But I'm sick of that. I'm sick of waiting for sequels.
Yeah.
I want the movie to be good now.
Well, so it is a comic book movie, Chris.
It is. At the end of the day, it is a comic book movie. What's up with all these fanboys? Like, just so gung-ho about these movies. They've always been into it. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Like, I saw it a lot with Avengers. I saw it with The Dark Knight. Right when when The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, the Dark Knight movies, I think people should be really into it like that, because those catapulted the comic book character out of the comic book movie,
out of the comic book ghetto.
Because when I think of those Christopher Nolan Batman movies, to me, those aren't comic book movies. They're actual films that just happen to be starring a comic book character.
They're films with people in costumes.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Right.
Because, you know, a lot of those movies are usually about something. There's theme, there's plot, there's character development.
Okay, I'm fine with that. My point is, I think it was when The Dark Knight Rises came out, for the first bunch of reviews that came out on Rotten Tomatoes, they were positive. So it had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes for a while. And then someone put out a negative review. So it lost its 100%. And then this is when they were allowing comments on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
You can review the reviewers. Mm-hmm. And people just went apeshit on this one person for not loving this movie like everyone else, and for daring to give it a negative review, losing 100%. The fanboys came out of the woodwork and went troll crazy. The same thing happened with Guardians of the Galaxy. A lot of the early reviews are very positive. So the initial negative reviews... people came out and went crazy on the reviews on the websites, and were not even talking about the substance of the reviews, but just like getting very personal and nasty with the people who wrote the reviews.
And the funny thing is, at that point in time, half these fanboys haven't even seen the movie.
No, yeah, right.
They had no idea what they were even talking about.
This was days before the movie came out. It was sight unseen, self-selecting, self-serving audience. So it's just like, I just question why they want to claim ownership of this geek property so much, because I understand it's geek, it's niche, they feel like it defines them somehow uniquely as opposed to other people. That being said, this is a Disney product. Disney and Marvel combined, all the hundreds of millions of dollars, this is the product of a huge corporation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Coca-Cola.
Yes.
It's like going to bat for McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
You know? And, like, you're going to go out and proselytize in the streets about Big Macs and try to convince people that this is the way it should be. It's a product meant to appeal to as many people as possible. It's at the end of the day, it's really not that artistic or worthy of being championed. They don't need you going out there and championing this movie on Twitter and telling people, go see Guardians of the Galaxy on Twitter. That's what the Disney marketing department is for. They dumped $150 million, $200 million a minimum into the marketing of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need the geeks, you know, the fanboys trying to be like, oh, go see it. Oh, it's so fucking special.
The fanboys need something to champion. And nowadays, it's cool to be that champion.
It is, I guess.
I guess they're just getting it out because, you know, back in the day, this was the stuff I got beat up for.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, hey, you know?
Talking Batman, if I would have brought up the Guardians of the Galaxy in the 1990s, I'd be dead now.
People
would be like, excuse me, who the fuck are they? What the fuck are they talking about? Even the fanboys in the 90s, they didn't care about Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's another thing. It's like people pretending that they cared about these characters the whole time.
Yeah. Nobody cared. No. Hell, and even so, watching this movie, when I first heard there was a Guardians of the Galaxy movie coming out, I thought to the 90s Guardians of the Galaxy, because that's the one that I'm aware of.
What's the difference?
Some of the names are the same, but the characters, completely different.
Really?
Yes. completely different.
This is new school Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, this is even, you know, characters that fanboys my age, unless they've continued to read comics throughout the last 20, 30 years, they have no idea who these people are.
Interesting. But they all, they're all like, it's like it's the Bible all of a sudden that's being adapted. And,
exactly.
And they're hardcore Christians. They want to see it perfect.
Yes.
Perfectly done. Relax, guys. You guys need to chill the F out. That's all I'm saying about that one. Fucking fanboys. So annoying.
Agreed.
So annoying. All right, back to the movie. Anything spoilery? Let's get into some spoil. What else can we spoil about this movie? Because this is the spoiler-filled episode. You know what? You want to get a little spoilery? Here we go. Well, this has almost been half an hour already. We'll just end it with this here. First off, ups to my boy Benicio del Toro.
He was only in the movie for like 10 seconds.
He's in the movie for one scene, but still, Benicio
kills it
in a movie that's pretty weird. Easily the weirdest fucking thing in the movie.
Yeah, totally.
Just the way he's talking and he's acting and he's moving and the way he looks. Love it. Fantastic. But like you said, he's in it for one fucking scene. And it's give a bunch of exposition to describe what the purple stuff is and where it fits into the grand scheme of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the place blows up and then he's gone for the entire movie.
Correct.
Except
the very end with Howard the Duck.
This is
where the fuck did Howard the Duck come from?
This is where we're going to end it. We're going to end it with the end credits teaser, Howard the Duck. That's okay. So Marvel has established the history. They release their movies at the end of the movie. At the end of the credits, you got to sit through 5-8 minutes of just looking at people's fucking names.
To usually see something that's tying into the next big movie.
Usually it's something that ties in. There was one, I forgot, I think it was at the end of Hulk, Tony Stark is like, he goes up to Thunderbolt Ross and he's like, oh, we're putting something together to tease the Avengers. At the end of Iron Man, Nick Fury came out to tease the Avengers. At the end of, I think, Captain America, they came out and found Mjolnir. The hammer.
Yeah, at the end of
so they teased Thor.
At the end of this last X-Men movie, they teased Apocalypse.
Yeah, right. So even them, even the X-Men people are taking a cue out of that. At the end of Avengers, the final scene was them sitting around eating shawarma.
Yes.
To play off a joke.
Yes.
Which is funny. It was cute, but it did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This movie sat through the fucking credits because I heard some buzz about the final credit, about the final scene.
Howard the Duck.
It's fucking Howard the goddamn Duck. They find Benicio del Toro, the collector. He's just sitting. That dog that's in the cosmonaut suit, because that's a complicated character.
He comes back and licks him.
He licks Benicio del Toro, and then you hear someone off screen saying, why would you let him lick you? That's disgusting. Benicio del Toro looks up. It's Howard the Duck. And he's sitting there drinking a martini.
Yep.
A very CG-looking Howard the Duck.
Oh, yeah, totally.
First fucking off. With the original Howard the Duck movie, the first Marvel movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck movie from the mid-80s, Lucasfilm. The movie's terrible. Fucking terrible.
It's awful.
The best thing about it
is the duck costume.
It's the goddamn duck costume. Yeah. The actual duck. You know, it had like the hairs that came up on it, the feathers. It took like 3 people to operate that thing.
Yeah.
It was an incredible piece of work by the Stan Winston and all those guys. I'm pretty sure it was them. And then here we got shitty CGI duck.
Correct.
So didn't even put that much time and effort into making the duck. And then what? So is this supposed to be a teasing the Howard the Duck movie? I can't wait to see how Howard the Duck ties into the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, seriously. Maybe he whoops Thanos' ass.
I mean, no one wants to see a Howard the Duck movie. If you want to see a Howard the Duck movie, you need to get your priorities straight.
Agreed.
Seriously. So that's your bonus teaser. That's your final scene. And it is not worth sitting around for.
No.
Not in any way, shape, or form. For the love of God, save those 4 or 5 minutes of your life and just leave the theater and go about and do your things that you need to do. Because you don't need to see Howard the Duck. Anything else you want to talk about? Guardians of the Galaxy, anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, no, not really.
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a good enough movie. It was cool. It's definitely modern Star Wars.
It's just hollow.
But in the most derivative way. Yeah, it's pretty hollow. And it's not going to be something that people are going to be talking about 15, 20, 30 years from
now.
No. Not like Star Wars.
Nope.
Except for the fanboys, maybe. Because they like to hold on to stuff. They'll hold on to those things. All right, so there you go. That was our spoiler-filled boner episode of Guardians of the Galaxy, though. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir.
Let's go get some chicken fried chicken and biscuits and potatoes and orange cream soda.